Let's get started. Okay, so we are getting started. We are on Perek Yud. And if you recall, thematically, we've been discussing the need for a balance between learning Torah and Dveikus. Fundamentally, the goal of Torah is for Torah's sake, for knowledge's sake. Nevertheless, Dveikus, or Yirat Shamayim, or closeness to Hashem, plays a role because that is Otzaro. That's the only way you can make yourself an appropriate Kli Kibul in order to be worthy of maintaining and absorbing and internalizing the Torah. And on a Lamaisa level, Rav Chaim Voloshiner has mentioned that you can do one or both of, spend some time working on your Yirat Shamayim, your Hesbonos, your Musar before you learn, and if you feel necessary, even for a bit during one's learning, taking a pause to do that. Okay, that's where we more or less have ended up, different midrashim, different metaphors, but that's the bottom line. And now, he doesn't pivot in some significant way substantively, but there's a certain, I guess, stylistic, if you will, pivot, in that he's about to clarify the thesis, which will be very, very important as a substantive matter, but most of the piece is him establishing this clarified point through significant use of Zohar, and more mystical ideas. So, yeah. Buckle up. And if we understand half of it, we should all consider ourselves very worthy. Okay, Perek Yud. U'b'shas ha'esek va'iyun b'torah. So again, even though he has told us that you kind of act like a battery, run out of energy in the middle of morning seder, so to speak, you may need to take that break. But other than that, when you're actually learning, v'aday ein sarach oz l'inyan hadveikos klal. It's not just that, like, it's, I can be makel on you. No, adrabah. It's not the right thing, it's completely unnecessary, and therefore it would be the wrong thing when you're otherwise, primed and ready and learning to alternatively be focusing on this, so to speak, dveikus. Why? Again, not because being davek Hashem is not a worthy goal, but on the contrary, she'ha'esek va'ian levad, hu davek b'rtzono v'diburo yisparach, v'hu yisparach urtzono v'diburo chad. That is to say something which we've kind of previously mentioned before, but here he says it, as straight as can be, and he'll elaborate on it for the rest of the perek, because when you're actually learning, the Torah itself is a form of dveikus. You don't need to do something else. So let me kind of rephrase this in my own words, and I think we may have mentioned this previously, but we'll definitely be, focusing on it today. When you're sitting and learning Baba Kama, when you're sitting and learning Beitza, it may be the most interesting sugya, it may be a less interesting sugya, but ostensibly, prima facie, what's that got to do with the elevated ideas of dveikus and spirituality and your shamayim? Right, I'm talking about an egg, I'm talking about a ear of tafshilin, I'm talking about a shor shenagach hazapara, I'm talking about a kiddushin. And the answer says, Rav Chaim Voloshiner, you have to realize, ha'esik va'ion levad hu davik b'rtzono. Why? And he's going to unpack this in a moment, but already the kernel that you see in that one phrase. Because what are all those things? Erev Tavshilin, and Baba Kama, and Baba Metzia, and Gittin, and Kiddushin. What are all those things? Ratzon Hashem. They're all different manifestations, different applications of Ratzon Hashem. And when you confront Ratzon Hashem, and here's the next hop, skip, and jump, which he's about to elaborate on explicitly. When you confront Ratzon Hashem, you are engaged with Hashem himself. You cannot divide, you cannot separate between Ratzon Hashem and Hashem himself. So you may not realize it, but you are actually being Daveik at that very moment. Hu Inyan Amram, and this is a well-known idea, which is based on a Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Lama Gimel. So the Medrash asks rhetorically, Adam loke chefetz, if a person buys a certain object, Shema yachol liknos ba'alav, are you buying the person you bought it from also? You go to the store and you buy a can of soda. Are you buying the makolet owner also? You go, and even if you buy a very expensive car or a super expensive investment like a house, do you get the... I'm paying you already a few million shekels. Do I get the owner with it too? No, obviously it's absurd. It's a rhetorical question. And yet, says the Medrash, Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nosein HaTorah LiYisrael, when Hashem gives us the Torah, we're quote-unquote acquiring the Torah, Hashem says to us, Omar lehem, kavyachol li atem lokhim. You're getting not only my Torah, but you're getting me as well. And this, before we, well, let's read a little bit to finish this paragraph, this section, and then we'll kind of unpack it. The Zesha Kosovan, I guess this is the more famous phrase, which I'm sure you have heard in various contexts. It says, as he says, Kama Makomos B'Zohar. You know, not just one. This is a very popular idea in the Zohar. Don't you know? The Kud Shabrichu V'Arai Sachad. The idea that the Torah and Hashem are actually one. They're not divisible, they're actually the same. And just he elaborates on that with another quotation. Ugdol mizu, even more than that, but Parshas Beshalach, the Zohar says, V'ulifna dekud shabrichu Torah ikrei. That we have learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Torah. Ulifna dekud shabrichu Torah ikrei. Right? The Torah of Hashem, the Torah is called Hashem. Ain Torah ela kud shabrichu. There is no Torah, so to speak, ela kud shabrichu. They're indivisible, you can't separate them. They're in essence synonymous. Now, obviously, if he's quoting the Zohar, it's unnecessary for me to tell you that this is obviously a very mystical, metaphysical idea. So I try to think a lot about this over time, and I think, you know, on my level, which maybe you guys can understand this on a more mystical level, I'm not sure, but on my level, the way I understand this, I think is, when you take any person, there's the person's thoughts and the person's, you know, body. There are people who are more ascetic, and there are people who are more, I guess you'd say, migusham, right? More, you know, so to speak, you know, their whole life is the next meal or the next physical pleasure, right? And then, you know, I remember a person once, you know, like, we used to joke, and then I actually saw it, where, like, he was at a hotel for, like, one of the, you know, for Shabbos or Yontif, and, you know, they have the buffets. Like, they brought the dessert buffet to him, right? Like, that's a... You know, like, imagine, like, so to speak, living your life, you know, at the hotel breakfast buffet, right? You know, your whole, you know, it's one, as it is, even though I've done it many times, I can't necessarily defend, you know, spending, you know, 8 days doing it. But okay, that's 8 days. But imagine your whole life. You know, there are people whose whole lives, whether they're in the hotel buffet or not, it's all about that. You know, the next meal, the next delicious thing, etc. Now, there are other people who are, you know, somewhere in the middle. And then, I don't know, in recent years, not that I know every aesthetic out there, but if you read a little bit, and I only did a little bit, but if you read a little bit about Steinman when he passed, you know, during his lifetime when he passed away, he was like about as close as you could get to Steinman. I mean, he barely ate, you know, barely sleeping. You could find that with like a lot of Talmid Chachamim. But like, I mean, he was on a diet of like, you know, barely any bread and water. I mean, very, very little. He was really like an ascetic. Right? That's an extreme. Right? But the point is, everybody, even the Steinmans, everyone on that range, to be human being means to be both our thoughts, our dreams, our, you know, a non-physical part of us, and then there's, of course, our actual body. So if I give over, so to speak, my thoughts, I'm giving over a huge part of me, but I'm not giving over all of me. There are parts, because part of me is this physical body, right? But Hashem, who is only, again, whatever exactly this means, I don't know either, but Hashem, you know, we start with the assumption that there is no body. So whatever he is only the spiritual, you know, intangible thought, idea, value. I'm not even sure if there's any right word for that, but that. So if that is somehow Aide Tzimtzum, another mystical idea, constricted and, you know, laundered through till it becomes words that we call Torah, so that's not something else, that's not a part of Hashem, that is Hashem. I mean, it's not any one pasuk, it's not all of Hashem, but the point is, that is Hashem himself, that is the essence of Hashem, because there is nothing else other than him. You can't separate Hashem's thoughts and values from the person, you know, from the being itself. So I think that that's this idea of kud shabrichu v'arai sachad, right? Again, it's a powerful idea, but you have to try to understand what it means, again, as much as you can. That's the best I've come up with. Does anyone have any other way of conceptualizing that? I'd be happy to hear if you do. Okay, does at least what I'm saying make somewhat sense? You could feel free to dissent. Okay, you're good with it. Okay, so let's continue. And now, okay, so the next little part, I can't say I can even explain it on our level. But, you know, to be Yaitz Zayin, so to speak, let's just read it anyway. And who knows, just by reading it, maybe somehow we'll be affecting a tikkun somewhere. If I can speak metaphysically for a moment. Gam ki shar sheh elyon shel hator hakadosha. And, you know, there are different parts of Torah. But if I get to the highest part, shar sheh elyon of Torah, hakadosha, Hu be'elyon, sheba ha'olamos, hanikrim ha'olamos ein sof. There is, again, I can't say I really understand this in any real way, but we're going to be using a lot of this language in future program as well, and he's going to get much more granular about how he conceives of this working. But it seems like already now what he's telling us is that even up in Shemayim, even up in, you know, the netherworlds up there, there's different levels. And everything that's up there is already removed from down here. But still, there are levels even up there. And I guess the higher you get, the more even supernal, even more purified, even more spiritual you get, until at some point you get to something which is something which is something, which is, you know, the highest of the highest, closest to the essence of Hashem. And it gets some sort of, you know, filter down until it gets to us. Right? That's going to be something that's going to come up a lot in future Prakim. So what he's saying here now, just like, you know, he's like, you know, leading with his chin, so to speak, he's going right into it, which is that the Torah, in its highest form, comes from the highest place. Even the lowest place up there would be way higher than what we can see with our physical body. But this is not just up there, b'chlal, right? It's not just that, you know, it's like, I'll give you very crude mushal. At some point it hit me when I was younger, probably my father first told me that I didn't believe it until I understood it, and then I have to try to explain it to my kids now. Like, when you see like a college sports game, the worst player there, you know, let alone when you see like a professional team and you see this bum where everyone's booing and he's terrible, right? They're better than anyone you've ever seen by far. Like, you can't imagine how good you have to be a star in high school. And of those stars in high school, only a fraction even make college. And of a fraction of those are really good in college. If you take all the college stars, a fraction even get drafted, let alone actually are good. Right, you can't even conceive, it's so beyond. Right, so here also, like, anything that's already up there, that's like drafted. Like, it's like way beyond anything we could imagine. But you could be a bench warmer. Or Torah could have been, you know, Torah made the major leagues, but you could have imagined it somewhere lower. You know, just made the team, you know, be happy to be there. You know, backup quarterback, best job in football, you never get hit, make a nice paycheck, right? But that's not what it is, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Right? He's a starter, and not just a starter. An all-star, not just an all-star, a Hall of Famer, not just a Hall of Famer, but the Hall of Famer of the Hall of Famers. It's on the highest part, right? It's the Elyon Sheba HaOlamos, which is called Ein Sof. Sod HaMalbush HaNe'alam HaNiskar B'Sitrei Plios Chachamam B'Torah Rabbeinu HaRizal. Don't know what that means. Shehu Reishis Sod HaOsios HaTorah HaKadosha. So, I don't know what that means. It's somewhere up really, really high, and we can call it something. I guess Sitrei helps because, you know, it's mysterious. Okay, I'm with you on that. Now he quotes, and he says, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Hashem Kanani Reishis Darko, Kodem Mifalav Oz. Right, again, I think if I understand what he's trying to say, the idea being, you know, that somehow this thing of Torah is even Kodem. It's even before the Mifalav, the actual, you know, creation of the world and the physical stuff, which he's going to speak more about as we continue. Zesher Amr Chazal, on point, Kodma Li Olam. Torah came before the world. Hainu gam mikol ha'olamos kulam. So, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, being the good mystic that he is, says, you know, you don't have any havamina that this is the only world. There have been many, many worlds. So don't just think that Torah came before this world. Torah came before all worlds. Now again, what exactly does this mean? So here, again, I can't say I really understand that on a metaphysical level, but unlike the last few lines where I had no clue, when we get to the end of the paragraph, I'll tell you what I think it means, you know, on our level. And that's really going to be significantly the rest of the chapter. Shari Amru B'Bereishis Rabba, Shekadma L'Kisei HaKavo. No, it even comes before Hashem's throne. V'emesh Shekadma Kav Yachal Galam Olam HaAtzilus Yisparach. Again, one of the higher worlds up there is called Olam HaAtzilus. But that's like super duper high. And yet Torah is even before that. El Shatzilus Nikra Ayin. No idea what that means. Okay? I don't want to even try. I don't. But, you know, really, really high, really, really, so to speak, early, if we can speak about it in a chronological sense. Let's just read a little bit more, and then I'll try to tell you what I think this means, and then he's going to develop it more with a few more Zohars. L'chein ba ne'etzlu v'nivru kol olamos elyonim v'tachtonim. So it's on this highest place where the Torah is, that is where Hashem, so to speak, gathered together and created all the lower worlds. And he quotes, and this is a thing that's going to come up in a few of the later paragraphs as we go through the parak, from Zohar. This pasuk is really, the Kabbalists are very big fans of this pasuk in Mishlei. V'eheyeh etzlo amun. Amon. Now, if you look at that perek, that's in perek Chet of Mishlei. So the context is, I double checked myself. I'm not such a bucky in all Mishlei that I just know off the top of my head what's perek Chet of Mishlei about. But it seems like it's all about talking about Chachma from Chachma's perspective. And I assume it seems clear the way it's understood here that it doesn't just mean random Chachma, but specifically Chachma Satorah. So, assuming I'm correct about that, Chachma is saying Ve'heyeh etzlo Amun, and I the simple pshat, if you read it that way, Amun I think means like a nursling. Look that up. Almost like somebody who's just drawing strength from Hashem. The Chachma is there, like in a very passive role, just drawing strength. But that's not how Chazal understand it. Oh no. Amruzal, Bereshis Rabba, Al Tikrei Amon Ella Uman. The Chachma is the Uman. Chachma is the, so to speak, architect or engineer of the world. Or in another medrash, Mishlei Rabasa, Chachmos Bansa Besa, Zua Torah Shabansa Kololamos. In other words, in this pasuk, Al Tikre Oman Ella Uman, it's an allusion to the fact that, so to speak, the technique, the tool, the drafting board, if you will, that the architect, if Hashem is the big architect in the sky, so what was the technique that he used to create the world? And not just this world, but all the worlds? It was the Torah. Now, he's going to still give more interpretation, in his own language to this. So I'll tell you the best I can understand this. Again, I'm happy to hear feedback if you have. And if not, we can even keep what I'm about to say in the back of our minds as we see the next paragraph or so and see if it makes sense in what he's saying. But the best I could come up with, because again, the obvious question, what does that mean? It's before the world. And even if I understand what, certain of the legalistic parts of the Torah before the world are, is it saying that, Sefer Shmos and Bereishis, was written before the world, so that before there was an Avraham, there was a story about Avraham? Like, is that what he's saying? And this is obviously, quite deep stuff. Again, I'm not a hyper-rationalist. I'm not an irrationalist, I hope, but I'm not a hyper-rationalist. I'm willing to live with the fact that, maybe the things I don't understand, but I'm just not even sure I understand if this is what I don't understand. But what I think it's trying to say, and the best way that I think at least can even just make sense to us on some level, is I think this is a very powerful metaphysical version of form follows function. In other words, if you're designing something, right, first you try to figure out what's the purpose, right, what's the function. Right, you first come up with that. You're trying to invent whatever it is. The latest tech gizmo, the newest sneaker, the newest this, right? So if you're just trying to duplicate and copy someone else so that you can also make the money, okay, fine. But then you're not really creating anything. But if you're trying to actually invent something, right? So you first have to, first you figure out what you're trying to accomplish. And then you try to build something that follows, that can create that, right? Form follows function. First you determine the function and then you work backwards, so to speak, and you make the form. So I think this is a metaphysical, on the grand scale, idea. That is to say, one second, someone's trying to call me, but Shira, as much as we love her, but not the right Shira. Why did Hashem create the world? I mean, I don't really, really know. I'm saying, I know what people say, but the answer is that's the Torah. In other words, there was something that Hashem was trying, that's his moral will. It's embodied in the Torah. So first Hashem had that. That became the blueprint, right? He was, so to speak, Hashem, Kaviyachol, so to speak, spitballing at the whiteboard, with his team, the ministering angels, figuring out, so to speak, right? Okay, this is what we're going to try to accomplish. And they had a plan, the business plan, the engineering, Okay, now let's build something that flows from that, that's going to be able to be a physical reflection or manifestation of what we're trying to accomplish. I think that's what he means. The Torah is the blueprint, and everything is created from that. So in that sense, it's not inconceivable. Again, I don't know what it means. I don't know if this is even what the Zohar means or the Medrash means. And if it does, I'm happy to just admit that I don't understand everything. Does it mean that the Pesukim in Sefer Bereishis telling the stories about Avram and Sarah were already there? Maybe. Again, it's hard to fathom, I get it, but it's not impossible, right? Imagine Lahavdil of Abdullah, the greatest, fantasy writer who created a whole world, but then has the ability to actually make it real. Isn't it possible that Hashem envisioned, all these stories, and then it's possible? Is that exactly what the Zohar or the Medrash means? I can't say I know for sure. But certainly on the broader strokes of, a certain, the natural laws of nature, the moral rules that he embedded into nature, etc., I have no problem conceiving that Hashem, so to speak, had that, and then the world comes out of that in the sense of the cause and effect. That's the best I got. Any...
I mean, I really don't understand it. But
that's the first step to understanding.
Playing off the first paragraph is very good. Meaning, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Torah are really one and the same, so by nature of a Kadosh Baruch Hu existing before everything else,
it had to. It also had to exist. Right. That's also true. Right. That's also true. Good. Very good. Okay. So I think that's a good point. You should connect that to the first part of the paragraph too. Okay, let's continue. Let's see if we can get through these last Zohars and get the full sweep of what he's trying to say. V'inyan ki haTorah haKadosha hi diburo yisbarach. Right, Torah is basically the word of God. U'b'maimer piv yisbarach b'mayas habereishis nivra olos amos kulam. I don't think he quoted Pirkei Avos, but that's in Pirkei Avos, right? That Hashem created the world ba'asara ma'amaros. Right, Hashem, his tools were not the hammer and the nail, you know, but actually, so to speak, whatever this means, Hashem spoke things into being. So Torah is those diburim. Anything that Hashem says, again, if Torah is just the expression of Hashem's will, so anything that Hashem expresses is by definition, so to speak, Torah. It's tautological, but I don't think that makes it illogical. Shaidei Sidur Gilgul Tzirufa Osios. Now here he gets into something very specific, which is in the footnotes. If you have my Nefesh HaChaim, he points out that, you know, there seems to be an idea in the Ramban Al HaTorah as well, like this, in the Hakdama of the Ramban. But the idea is that if you take all the letters of the Torah and you knew how to organize them in the right way, if you had the decoder machine, everything's there. It's all actually hidden in there. The Seder Gilgul Tzirufa Osios Apiseder 231 Sharim Panim Achor Shemaimer Breishis Bara. Just in that little section, Ne'etzlu V'Nivru Olamos, worlds could be created. You could see the possibility, the blueprint of many, many worlds. Elyoni Elyonim Rabbe Revadin B'Chol Seder Matzavim Apirte Enyanim. In great detail, he's saying, not just in broad strokes. Chanichlabam, and everything that's going to come from them. Chayim B'Chol Maimer U'Maimer Shibal Derech Hanal, in every section of the Torah, Nivru Kol Pirte Haminim V'Hanyanim Sh'Oso Asuk Sh'Alav Namar Oso Maimer. So anything that's being discussed in the Torah, every physical manifestation that is going to eventually, be relevant to that is, so to speak, already embedded, at least in potential, let's say it that way, in there. And now he has a big Zohar from Parshas Truma. Dekad bara kucha brichu alama, when Hashem created the world, istakel ba baraisa bari alma. As we've seen, he looked into the Torah, the blueprint, created the world. Ubaraisa is bari alma. He quotes that pasuk from Mishlei that we saw already, not Amon, but Uman. Araisa tzavachas eheyeh etzlo Amon. Right, so to speak, the Torah is calling out. Bibara kachav bricha alama. Through me, the Torah is saying, the Chachma is saying that Hashem created the world. The adlo is bari alama akadmis da araisa. That even before Hashem created the world, araisa was already kadam. The Torah was already there. Ukad ba kusha brichu l'mivrei alma, when Hashem wanted to create the world, have a mistakel ba araisa. He looked into the Torah b'chol mila v'mila in each word. Ba'ovid l'kibla umnasa da alma. And so to speak, he somehow turned that into a reality. Begin the kalmilin v'ovdin the kalalamin baraisa inun. In a way that each and every word, every part of the Torah, so to speak, becomes manifest. Baraisa k'sivbe, for example, says in the Torah, b'reishis bara. So what happened? Hashem looked at that. Istakel b'haimili. He looked at those words. Ubarasa shamayim, because it said in the Torah. K'sivba v'yom Hashem yihor. Istakel b'haimili. Ubaratoor. Whatever Hashem looked at, so to speak, the word, then it became into being. And now this is the pasuk again in Mishlei. In this sense, kalama isbara, the whole world was created through looking at the chachma. So again, what exactly this means on a metaphysical level, I can't say I possibly know. But again, the best I can grasp, again, is this idea that Hashem, Kaviyachol, first, again, it's hard to talk about first and seconds with Hashem, but Hashem, so to speak, first having a blueprint, an idea of what he wants to create, writing it down, and then, so to speak, thinking it into being through those words. He does reference the Esam Amaros. Everything in the Torah and all the worlds and all the worlds of the worlds and all the worlds, they're all, so to speak, embodied in those 10 Mamaros that Hashem used to create the world. He quotes his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, the way, the same thing, apparently the Gra already said this in his commentary to the Kabbalistic work, the Sifra Ditzyusna, and furthermore, you can also find more of this for those who want even more in the Zohar in Bereshis. Okay? I'll just read here. I have a footnote very quickly that he quotes from the Gra here. Haklal kol ma shahaya hoveviyeh ad olam hakol kol batorah mibreshis ad le'enik Yisrael. Right? Not only everything that was created, everything that will ever happen in the world, in history, somehow was all embedded into the words of the Torah. Again, you can take it or leave it, but I don't think you can understand it. Either you take it on a leaf, you know, a faith or not, but it's hard to, obviously, I think a human being could understand such a thing. L'chein amur b'zohar d'araisa hi nihiru d'chalamen, right? The Torah, so to speak, the light of the world. V'chiyusa v'kiyumah v'sharsha d'kulam, the life, the, you know, the sustenance, the shorish of everything. And last but not least, he says here this final point, Hinyanhu, he tries to explain it, ki ha'olamas ha'olochim al seder hishtashlus v'hadragah shekol olam hayoter elyon gavoah. There's a certain order of things. It's very, you know, we don't understand it, but it's very precise. And the higher something is, hu nishmasa v'chiyusa v'kiyumah v'orosh olam shetachtav levad. Right? So you have whatever's on top, it exists, but it also serves as the life force of the thing below. Right? It kind of drips down. And then that thing has its own life force and then drips down. Each one is on top of the next. Then he's like a side point that Olam Hatzilus actually has three things. Again, I don't understand any of that at all. I am Beitz Chaim, Shar Pnimius, Vachitsonios, etc., etc. Ushar Drushe something, Ubushar Shemos, Ushar Klipos, Kula Lukos Gomer. Again, don't understand any of that. The Esther Sphiros, Datzilus Malka Bahun, Iu Vagarme Bechadbun. Okay, this is the same, this is not the same. Don't really understand any of that, other than that there's some scheme, which is, I think, classic Kabbalah, or at least classic Lurianic Kabbalah, if I want to pretend to sound smart and know what I'm talking about, that there's different spheros, again, which, so to speak, is the way Hashem, who's up there, and now we're learning the Torah is really up there too, it gets, you know, drop, you know, each one becoming the life force for the one below it, becoming the life force for the one below it, until eventually it comes into our world. Concluding, Ulechei, deep breath, HaTorah HaKadosha, Shasharsha Elyon HaNelam, it is on the highest of the high. Hula Maila Maila Gami Atzilus Kacha Isbarach. So again, something in Kabbalah which is super duper high is called Atzilus. The Torah is even higher than that. Ukuja Brichova, right? Again, it's like, again, to use my very crude mushal, you know, it's like, you know that player that you saw was like the best player you ever saw? Well, guess what? Those people, they're even better than him. Right, so the highest thing you can imagine is Atzilus. Torah is above that. Kuchabrichu, Araisa, Kuluchad, because Torah is the closest thing to being pure Hashem. Everything else, even on a high level, you know, is the slightly watered down version. It's like when you look at the ingredients on the back of the thing, right? You know, sometimes it's like 3% fruit juice, and you know, 90% chemicals or water, right? So in the beginning, it's only, you know, 1% water, and then, you know, you keep on adding more and more as it gets watered down, you know, filtered through. So the highest of the high is the one that's the closest to being pure Hashem. And what's the closest thing that can become pure Hashem? Even higher than the highest sphere? And that is Torah itself. Tova Raisa Chadhu, Hia Nefesh Achius Hanihira Hasharsha Dolom and Kulon. Shekamo Esa Bria Baz Leno Devru Kulam, so as we just Hashem used the Torah to create everything. Kane Meyaz, so too, continuing to that. He Nishmasim Vachiusim Vakumum Al Seder Matzavim. It's still the case. A Bilti Shivas Orabam, and if we still didn't have the light of the Torah, the power, the energy of the Torah, Korega Mamish! Mamish! That's for you, because it's a Muncie word, Mamish. Korega Mamish, Lahirum Lachiosum Lakayamim, Huchosum Kulam Latomavo. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a perfect segue, mamish, to next week. Because Perek Yeralf is where he's going to talk about a very, very famous thesis, how you need to learn Torah every second to keep the world going. Because Torah was not only the battery power, the energy source that created the world, but it's if you pull out the plug from that energy source, the whole thing will go down. Thank you.